Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Yes, so if you were looking for the crossover episode of Sister Center for Sisters and the Raising Men Show with the couples in the Bible, we are taking a real brief break as we go through celebrating Black History Month, or African American History Month as the proper term is, and we're celebrating right now leaders making history. History in the making is the topic, and in the studio with me today I have Dr. Deshaun Burns, outstanding coach, father, hope to call him friend over time. Dr. Burns, what do you think about the topic of being, you know, history in the making? Because I know you just came from a pretty awesome moment right now, signing day. For those who don't know, those who are parents out there whose kids play football, signing day is a pretty big deal, right?
Yes. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. It's a great opportunity, supporting each other. Such an honor. You know, signing day, the National Signing Day or National Letter of Intent Day, NLI, has been happening for years. Obviously, when we were playing sports, it was going on. There's now two times. There's one in December. Mm-hmm. There's one on the first week of February, the first Wednesday in February. And it's a chance for kids to continue or sign National Letters of Intent so that they can continue their collegiate careers in athletics.
Sure.
So we're blessed enough to celebrate that today over at Linfield Christian, and had five people sign letters of intent, four football players, and one was a soccer player, a girl soccer player, wow, going to Providence. So for the parents out there and aren't sure and don't know what happens, you sign a letter of intent, which is one step closer to you going to school on a reduced rate, you know, reduced tuition rate, or full ride scholarship.
Sure.
So people tend to refer to it like that. So that happened today, and it was just a great event for our kids to continue
now,
education.
Now, when you're looking at that, to me, that's history. And as you go back through your history and all the players that you've seen on the days you've set, any particular day or player that stands out in your mind that you could say, yeah, that day was special for this? I know they're all probably special for the reasons they are special, but any of them stand out in your mind as an extra special day?
Great question. I don't know. I think they all hold their own.
Sure.
And each year, I don't want to say tops the previous year, sure, but it's special in its own because it's a chance for the young men to or women to continue building. I call it building the dream.
Sure.
So them putting that name on and putting their name on the dotted line, yeah, and committing to 4 or 5 years, or really four, sure, years of their life to being a student athlete, it's big in its own right because the journey is so hard. The sacrifices made, the amount of torture that the body has to go through, just the academic rigor,
sure,
being competitive in the academic realm, and then being good enough athletically to be considered worthy of receiving funds from a university, sure, that can pick from all over the world. They're all special, you know, and just I think the joy I get is watching the kids count down and they sign their name, and it kind of washes out the previous year. Yeah. You think maybe there's some special classes, but
sure,
whether it be one or 12 or 11 kids or your whole senior class going, mm-hmm, I don't know if I've ever said this one was pretty awesome over the other one. You know,
sure,
if that makes any sense.
Then do you still keep track of your previous athletes and I don't say students, so to speak, because they're all young men and women, but do you still keep in touch with any of them?
Yes, yes. Darn near every one that I can.
Sure.
We talk or we'll text or the Facebook, Instagram, sure, Twitter deal from 19, yeah, coach in 95. So from 94, well, really 94-ish, yeah. So from then until now, I managed to keep in contact with a lot of the young men that I've been able to coach that are now parents. Just the other day, a kid that I coached at Texas Southern, good old Salvant out of Miami.
Yeah.
Just wanted to reach out to him and tell him he's doing a good job. I saw some things he posted, and young man talked about a promotion he had with the construction company. He's the youngest minority foreman,
oh, wow,
in the company, and we just began to talk about that, and we talked about, sure, his time at Texas Southern. And just yesterday, a young man I coached at Bishop Armand High School, Donnie McCleskey, we have some kids going to Cal Berkeley, and he reached out and was like, "Hey, make sure that I get their numbers." So
it's
they're my kids.
Yeah,
they're my sons and daughters.
But you're teaching. I mean, in the topic is history in the making. Mm-hmm. So every kid that's on the field with you, whether mm-hmm. it be a strength and conditioning kid or actually your coach on the gridiron,
yes.
Do you see them? Can you look at them and go, "Yeah, that one's gonna make it," or "No, that one's got to do some work," or, you know, "That one they're probably better be doing something extra special in the classroom to make sure we get through." How do you help grade them and still not? How do you still foster their dream?
Yes.
With keeping the reality there for?
Well, I think the most important part is that we have real discussions, and I think in this day and age, there's not a lot of real discussions happening.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. They get the pipe dream.
Sure.
And because there's a market for that, mm-hmm. right? And there's money to be made in that. So it's twofold. I search for affirmation.
Sure.
Okay. And there's affirmation givers
sure.
that are seeking those that need the affirmation sure. so that we can continue this cycle. Sure. The ones that are dealing in the truth might be hard for the ego or so for the soul or for the reality, you know, sure. for the truth. The truth serum comes out.
Sure.
So I will venture from that, go to what is easier. You know, yeah. A good friend of mine says, my coach is on staff, says, water seeks its own level, right? So yep. you're telling me. I need to work on this. I might not like hearing that, so I'll go somewhere that tells me what I'm doing is good enough.
Sure, sure.
And that's a tough discussion to have with these up and coming, and they got mom and dad that think the world of, you know, their kids, and they sure. should, and I have a right. But when you have to have that real discussion, it becomes difficult. And if you can have that, and everybody's on the same plane,
sure, sure,
then you get progress rather quickly. And so I try to, in evaluation, be as honest and open and real with it, never in a vein of ridicule.
Sure.
But, you know, the word says you can speak the truth in love. So
yeah,
I'm going to talk to you in love. You might not like it.
Sure.
It's never personal. It's all business.
Yeah.
And then we'll make decisions from there. So
how do you, as a leader in doing that, and as a coach, are you more of a hands-on coach? I mean, when I was playing basketball, I couldn't go... In a coaching basketball, I could never tell the guys, "Hey, it's how you do a crossover. I'm going to be the nasty crossover driven guy," or whatever. I was more of, "Let me talk you through it, and I'll walk the kids who knew how to do well through it." So I could tell you.
Right.
I could never show you. But I knew what you did right or wrong, and I can repeat to them how to get better. How are you with your leadership style? Are you able to show them, "Look, this is where you do that"?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, "Let me tell you how you do it."
Right. Well, I learned through some of my mentors once again. You learn one of three ways, right?
Sure.
So you're going to be a visual learner,
yeah.
a physical learner, or an audible learner.
Sure.
So the goal is to teach on those three areas, in those three spheres. So
sure.
we're going to talk about it. And there's some that I didn't need to hear it.
Hmm.
You know, my learning style was I was a physical guy. So okay. I learned best by doing.
Sure.
So I gravitated to that
sure.
naturally. And that was like initially my coaching style of, I'm going to show you how to do it because that's how I best learned.
Sure.
And then cerebral part came by me growing older mm. and maturing in the game. And then I began to, you know, just saying, you know, you recognize what your weaknesses are.
Sure.
And you work on those instead of working on your strengths. So therefore, it's hard for the enemy to detect the chinks in the armor.
Yeah.
Right. So if I continue to just work on the chinks and keep banging the chinks out, like I don't worry about the chinks. That's what I'm strong about. That left shoulder is strong, so I'm going to put the left shoulder forward.
Sure.
And that doesn't seem to get damaged, but all I'm taking on is work on the right.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to protect the right.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to get the chinks out of the right. So I got to bang those out and work on those. So,
sure.
you know, audible, visual, or manual. So we'll teach. I'll teach on every aspect of that. We'll spend time in the classroom.
Sure.
If I was coaching you, I'd tell it to you. We demonstrate it. Then I have you do it. And in sure. the process... in an audience of 1 or 10 or 20,
sure.
somebody's going to gravitate to that,
yeah, yeah.
and then you can reach all. So that's been the style for many, many, many years and seem to have success with it. And then you get immediate feedback. You know, you can tell when a kid's getting it. And if you're working on something, it's easier for me to point it out because sure. you've experienced it. Oh, this doesn't feel right. Do you understand why it doesn't feel right?
Sure.
And I'll just leave with one of my mentors told me, Coach Lewis, Marvin Lewis, said, the guy that knows how will always have a job. Wow. The guy that knows why will always be the boss. So
wow.
The job is to create the why guy.
Wow.
You know, create the why guy.
I like Marvin Lewis. I've followed his career loosely from mm-hmm. an armchair hero, but I see him coaching for years, mm-hmm. you know, and may or may not got the credit he deserved mm-hmm. on every level, but this is a phenomenal guy. How did you find yourself in the game? I mean, being an African-American male in this sport, it's tough to yes. be a player, probably much easier than being a coach, because we're not always told we can think through a problem.
Right.
How did you get your start?
Shoot. I was playing ball at USC, and then I got hurt. I actually had a neck injury at the end of my career at USC, and then I had the opportunity under Coach Larry Smith, may he rest in peace, to be on part of the staff as a student coach, as a player coach. Oh, wow. I wasn't necessarily graduated, so I couldn't be a graduate assistant.
Sure.
So I had to become a player coach. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of guys that were recruited behind me in my position. Mm. So I had the blessing of working with Coach Bobby April, who I played under and then ended up getting hurt. And then Coach Cope, Bob Cope, who really taught me the ropes, and Kenny Zampezi, Ernie's son.
Yeah.
Just kind of showed me the ropes. I was splicing film back at the age of 19 on the old beta.
Yeah.
You know, splicing film and learning jargon and having to get hands-on and having to help some kids, help some of my teammates in the sport and during the drills. And it was a maturation process, too, because sure. here's a guy same age as me that was just messing up last week. Now I have to, you know, I was just messing up last week, sure. and now I get hurt and a change of events happen. Now I'm telling you how to do it right.
Sure.
So making sure. That. So I started out, and I was in 91, 92, and then just stayed with it. And then was fortunate enough to play a little baseball under Coach Gillespie
okay.
at SC, and then kind of dibble-dabble with that in the Astros and up north in Canada, and then came back. And first coaching job was at Beverly Hills High School.
Really?
Yeah, under Coach Basinger. And a buddy of mine, who's now the head coach over at Tockwitz, high school, Stephon Pace, called his teammate, roommate, Steph. It called me up and asked if I was interested in coaching. And so we started out at Beverly Hills High School. Urkel was going to school there at the time. Beverly Johnson's daughter. It was crazy, you know. Yeah, kids are driving up in BMWs and Mercedes. And,
limousine.
Yeah, else. We were on Hondas, and, you know, and we're coaching them. But I knew that then there's something I wanted to do, and I really enjoyed teaching and watching the kids.
Sure.
Put it together. So it was a great experience.
Well, we're definitely talking to a history maker right now on the Raising Men Show. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carl Island, in studio with Deshaun Burns. Man, he knows that he's been there, he's done that. He knows what it is to make history, and as a person and with his students. I'm going to get back to you after the next break. We continue to talk about history in the making and owning our place in history. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, if you missed our first segment, you know, we're talking about history in the making and owning our place in history. When you talk about owning your place in history, I know we were, you know, this is a continuing series that we're having. I know some people have a little tough time with that. I mean, we talk about, you know, people who've been in the industry a long time, or in this case with Deshaun, he's a coach and a player. So we may be thinking about a historical player or a Hall of Fame player. But when you think about it, him being a coach and a former player, as well as continuing being a parent, he's making history. We're making history. And so it's okay to make those bold statements that we need to own our place in history, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in history anyway. It could be a negative history that we don't want to deal with, but it's history making nonetheless. Deshaun, when you were coming through and playing and coaching even now and being a parent now, do you see yourself as a history maker?
I don't know. That's a great question. Again, pretty doggone good there. I think I've been the worker mentality where just put your nose at the grindstone and just work. I made a statement years ago, said I wanted to work really, 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 really hard until I was at the age of 30. And I did have a goal of being in college, and said, by the time I turn 31, I'd like to be coaching college ball. I never once thought about coaching in the NFL.
Sure.
But just wanted to be the best at whatever arena I was in at the time. So I really wanted to be a really, really dominant, good high school position coach.
Sure.
And was asked a bunch of times about if I'd ever want to go to college or even the pros. And I'd always shoot it down, no. And then I had a buddy, a good friend of mine, godfather of my kids, Kurt Barber, played with me at SC. He went to the Jets, and we had a discussion. We're going to play the Rams in Anaheim. And we're in this hotel room, and Barry Sanders had just retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a discussion about Barry Sanders retiring. And I had some speculations on why he was retiring.
Yeah.
It was so silly, you know, looking back upon it now. Sure. Just thinking, you know, back when paternity suits were big and this and that and the other. I'm thinking, oh, Barry, strong Christian man, maybe something has happened and he's sure. trying to get out
sure.
before it hits the fan. And I remember Kurt just telling me, how do you know it wasn't because God's calling him to do something else?
That's good.
And I was like, are you kidding me? He's at the pinnacle of his career. Yeah. And I was kind of caught in that.
Sure.
But he's the pinnacle of career. And do you understand how many people would give the right arm to go and do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
And then Kurt shared something with me and said, I never aspired to play in the NFL. And here we are playing at USC together. And he was a second-round pick to the Jets. Actually, they used their first pick in the second round. Like
sure.
their first actual pick
yeah.
on him.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? What? And he was like, I didn't take it seriously until I recognized that I have an opportunity to. And somebody told me that, hey, you could probably go to the NFL. And he goes, and then I was out here playing ball, having fun, just yeah. dealing with some things. And
sure.
this Joker's out here all Pac-10. He's sacking quarterbacks for some of the best in the game. The Mark Brunells at the time. I mean, he's yeah. doing work.
Sure.
And I remember just this come to Jesus meeting. And in his hotel room, he said, I never really thought about it.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. And years later, I had a chance to go to the University of Florida. And then I wasn't even there 6 months and I had an opportunity to go to the Redskins. And I just flashed back to Kurt and his opportunity. And I was thinking God was like, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. So
yeah,
he was just focused on being really good in this little small area. And God was kind of like, silly. Yeah. You know, like here's my plans for you over here.
Yeah,
you're focused on this. And so I don't know if I've thought about where that stands in history
yeah.
as a word stands in me being the best version of me I can be while I'm involved in this. And sure. if history comes from it, then so be it. The football team was blessed this year, which has been kind of an eye-opening experience
sure.
for me. We just chopped wood, the kids did, and the coaches and the administration just chopped wood, and they ended up finishing the tops in the state, you know, in scoring, and we wow. set all kinds of records nationally, and you know, school of less than 400 kids.
Wow.
A team of 40 guys were the leading scorers in the state.
Wow.
Number two in the nation, three in the nation, something like that. And overall, I think seventh all time and two in all time CIF, and then number two in our division in the state, in Division Five. So it's really crazy to see the history was made.
Yeah.
When there was no focus on making yeah, history. Sure. So, I mean, if that's the case, glory to God.
Yeah.
And I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the focus why right. I do what I do.
Right. In with the whole serious topic being history in the making and owning your place in history, I don't ever want anybody to think that I've ever thought, oh, I'm always going to be history. No, because like you, I just wanted to live. I just wanted to make sure I provided. I want to make sure I was a great dad.
Yes.
You know, but when it comes to it, when I was even just writing on the topic, You know, I was frustrated because with Black History Month, I kept thinking, you know, I'm tired of looking at the black and white photos
right.
of who was in the past. And I wasn't around when Frederick Douglass was coming through. So I really don't know that picture that they always like to show of the profile with the part in the middle or the gray and salt and pepper gray hair guy with the beard, right. if that really is Frederick Douglass.
Correct.
But I can tell people that this who I'm talking to on the show right now, this is Deshaun Burns.
Right.
And I, so I know that. So when your picture comes up, I can say, you know, I knew that guy. Right. And there's an account of who he knows him. And then this is how you can find an account of his past, what he's done, because he's done a good job. So this was history to make. For me, I need to see the color version of history as well as the black and white version of history. So so when I was even just writing, doing the research about it, and Laura was like, look, this is history in the making. You have to own your place because as a parent, and from what you're saying as a coach, you just chop wood. Right. You just got up and lived. You just do what you're supposed to do. You let everything else take care of itself. But we have, I had to make sure I understood, you know what? I had to make sure that I knew that whatever we did was important.
Yes. Yes. I think the lineage and the part that's been just ingrained in me from birth, my father, strong man, Ernest Burns, he just wanted me to be my best.
Yeah.
So he was like, whatever you do, give 110% of it. Yeah. Period. You know, don't quit. So that's kind of the Burns model. Don't quit.
Sure.
And you are constantly writing history, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think in looking at it, I've never heard it coined the way you coined it, but, you know, the living moniker and history is in the making. I mean, I think we've all, you're all contributing to history, right? Historical pieces and whatever that looks like. Is it a global, national stage? I don't know.
Sure.
But the history is important for the Carlisle family. History is important for the Burns family.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the communities we live in, maybe the cities in which we affect and the interactions and the relationships that we have. There is history going. And so I've taken ownership of that because it was instilled in me with my dad and my mom that it meant something.
Sure.
And old Western movies, right? All you have is a handshake and your word.
That's it.
That's
it right there.
You let your yes be yes, your no be no.
Yes, sir.
And be careful what you commit to because you're going to be held accountable for that. And, and over the course of the time, I look back and look at some things that have been placed in my life, history makers, guys I work with, guys I played with. There's all just contributing to that point in time to be the best version of them and then contribute to history, I guess, if you will, right? You know, some historical pieces.
Sure.
I never with the focus of I'm going to create history.
No, no.
But I'm going to go out and do my part to be the best I can be.
Yep.
And if everybody does that, then we'll probably be some special things that happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing, you know. So I appreciate the word and owning it. I've never really looked at it like that. And maybe it's time to just recognize as a bigger stage.
And I was raised, like you said, my dad was from Meridian, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another reason why it's charged me so much with this month and this topic is because I can't go back and interview my dad.
Right, right.
You know, he passed away a year ago, January.
Mm.
So there's some times in our life when I've allowed things to get by, or we allow things to get by, because we think, oh, no, I got time. I got tomorrow.
Right.
I got tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow.
No.
You know, I lost my wife when she was only 41. Mm. So it'd be 6 years that she's been gone this month, you know. And so my concern is with my youngest kid. He was 4 when she died.
Right.
I don't even know if he still remembers with his mother's voice.
Correct.
You know, her face. Yeah, because we have pictures, but they're not displayed around prominently because I needed to kind of set some groundwork and some separation between that ghost to the present.
Mm.
But I needed him to know that you have to do now. You know, we have to make sure every day is like the last time we'll ever do anything, whether it be classwork, whether it be on the sport field, or whatever. So I need them to understand that urgency for us. When my oldest boy was I think he was a junior at the time, some friends of his that were playing with us and for us basketball, we were coaching and he's being coached, family started to have problems. So death started to get a little closer and closer to the house. And it's funny, Lord let me tell him, say, look, son, you need to pretend like, you know, play like every time you get on the court is the last time, or the track field is the last time you're going to play, because that death is getting closer. But I didn't, I kept thinking, oh, it'll get close. I didn't think it would hit inside the house.
Right.
So when his mom died, or, you know, my late wife died, it was like, okay, now I get it, Lord. That was not just for him to right. keep pushing, but it was for me mm-hmm. to keep pushing, like, because every day may be the last one. So now that mantra I used to always give the kids, they get it.
Right.
Because there's not guaranteed that you're going to see tomorrow.
Correct.
When you're coaching mm-hmm. and you're trying to push your guys that way, and because I know I've heard you and I've talked before mm-hmm. about how coaching and you don't get a chance to be on those big national stages without having a drive to play that way. Because mm-hmm. I know you guys are maybe teaching a yard at a time, or from a defense mm-hmm. sample, whatever the defensive moniker is. How do you motivate yourself and your players to have that kind of a mindset of, I'm not giving you an inch on defense, right. or everything I get from you, I take it from you on offense. Where does that come from?
Well, I think that tough situations create tough people.
Yeah.
So you got to create tough situations. Sure. So my job is to put your back to the wall.
Yeah.
And then see how you operate there.
Sure.
We have a couple mantras that we use, all gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
Battle tested, battle sure. ready. Sure. We have a, after I got hurt, I remember saying, if you knew that the next play you went would be the last play Ooh. That you went, how hard would you go? Ooh. And so I've carried that for a long time. Rest in peace, Paul Reyna, who played for me at Bishop Beaumont High School,
sure.
went to Boise State, had an unfortunate injury, and ended up passing away at Boise State Ooh. Under Coach Cutter. And that just rocked the community. And it's a blessing and a curse. Have not had a lot of death in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm 48 years old, so sure. that means that it's around the corner. And sure. this month of January has been real tough.
Sure.
Some of my teammates, coworkers, they've been hit. We lost our head of school, Drake Charles. May he rest in peace. To Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was younger than me. So, just seeing that, and over the years, just that mantra of, if you knew the next play you went would be the last one, how hard would you go? And then living it myself, or just in a practice, thinking, hey, this would just be another drill. We'll go through it. We'll make the play, and then we'll move on.
Yeah.
And that last play I took in my college career, it was a play, and I know that I went hard.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to sleep at night.
Sure.
And there's no regrets. Why me? This happened. That happened.
So, do you remember that play?
Oh, I remember it. No, I remember it like yesterday. It was a half line drill, and it. Fullback came out, Eddie Chavez, good friend of mine now. He came, and I want to make the play. And then some of it is doing your job, too.
Right. Sure.
We ended up engaging, and I got hit, and I hurt my neck, and I herniated some discs and temporarily paralyzed. So it was a tough deal.
Yeah. But like you said, the important thing to remember, though, is to note, is that you said you gave it all that you had. You went yes. all out so you could sleep at night. That's the point, really, of even owning our place in history with this topic, is I want everybody to take ownership of that next play,
right.
of the play that we're in, of that breath we have, because we don't know when it's going to be our last one, because no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord's coming for any one of us.
That's right.
Oh, man, another break. And we'll be right back to the Raising Men show. I hate breaks, right. but
yeah.
We'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And now, for those of you who don't know, we have actually changed venues. I'm in my studio, yes, in town, where Deshaun was with me a few days ago. We've picked this up at a part two, and Deshaun's actually on the phone. Deshaun, you're out there.
I sure am. Thank you for having me. A pleasure.
Man, and I appreciate your time and flexibility, and it's very advantageous and very, you know, prophetic that the Lord has actually allowed us to have this time between you being in the studio with me and now being on the phone with me to finish this segment, this episode. You sent me the clip about Alex Ruiz, one of your players. He was your quarterback, I believe, from a year and a half ago. And for those of you who may have watched some of the pregame Super Bowl festivities, there was a young man named Alex Ruiz. They did a documentary where Drew Brees actually was the moderator, the commentator of that. And just a brief, very, very briefly, Alex Ruiz was the quarterback for Linfield Christian under Coach Deshaun Burns is a player for him. And he went down and he suffered a career-ending injury to his leg where he ended up losing his leg as a result of surgeries and the injury itself. Well, the article goes on to talk about 3 days later, a professional football player for the Chicago Bears had the same type of injury, not in the same manner, but he went down with the same level of injury. And the two of them connected, and as a result, he's, you know, this young man, Alex Ruiz, has got a tremendous testimony now and a ministry where he's able to show what happens if, and again, if you were listening in the first two segments, you know, Coach Burns, he talked about how hard would you go if you knew the next play was your last? Coach, how did the injury with Alex change you as a coach, change your team, change the trajectory of your players? I mean, you shared with us how you remember you were holding Alex in your lap, in your arms, as he was waiting for the medical team to arrive. How does something like this change how you move forward?
Wow. Man, you're making me hit these feelings there, Carlisle. It rocked us to our core because we talked about it earlier. We have a saying: if you know how hard you would go, if you knew that the last play you went would be, you know, the next play you went, excuse me, would be the last play that you ever go, how hard would you go? That was live and direct. Yeah. And they couldn't run from that. Right? It was real. They'd hear about it. Okay, coach. Yeah. Yeah, coach, you always talk about it. Yeah, fictitiously. And everybody says that. That's that motivational stuff. You know, I myself had an injury right in college that ended my career. So I can relate to it, and you talk to them, and you tell them kind of third person, like, yeah, but that was you, and they see it in severity, but I'm a man, I'm an old man, right? I'm a coach.
yeah.
So, yeah, that happened to you, like, you know, six centuries ago, coach, what do you know?
Yeah.
But this happened right under their nose, and there was no certainty if he would be able to come back or not. Mm. There was no certainty, because they saw something pretty heinous, you know, verbally describing it doesn't do it. I mean, there's no way, you know, to see it. Just it could give you nightmares. I mean, I haven't slept really well. I haven't slept much at all since the injury, and that was like a year, almost 2 years ago. So, our kids had to play a game. That, you know, just imagine you had to go back out and play a game. Yeah. You just saw your leader. He was leading the league in passing. He was leading the league in tackles. He was on his way to have an all-league season. And probably be in contention to be an all-CIF, some type of all-CIF football player. You know, his year, he had waited patiently. All the things that, you know, movies are written about and all that stuff. He waited patiently, waiting his turn. He had played on a team that went to the CIF championship and lost in the finals, lost in the championship. So he saw it, couldn't wait to be in that position to help a team, you know, down the road. And all of a sudden, everything's in the balance, right?
Yeah.
Everything's in the balance. So our team captain, he broke us down. Alex broke us down. And basically, you know, broke us down and said, hey, guys, go out and win the game. Play hard. He loved us. He loved the team. He prayed, you know, prayed us out, you know, broke us down. Lions, you know, family on three, family on me. Broke it down, family. And then our team captain, one of the team captains, Ben Coleman, pulled the team together in the end zone. And just kind of reiterated that same mantra, like, look, you know, we talk about, you know, if you knew the next play you went would be the last play you ever go, how hard would you go? Well, it's here right now. How do you know? You don't know. So unless, it, you know, it's broken, unless you can't move, unless you die, you better go hard. I mean, he put a big charge on these guys that night in the game. And he challenged every last soul out there, and even us as coaches, you know, we just had to, you know, we that was already our mantra, but it just got real. Right, you know what I mean? So coach your butts off, play your butts off, and they won in a fashion where we won, and it came down to a, had to block a field goal to make sure we present, you know, kept the lead. Guys got through, blocked the field goal, and it was huge, and it did a bunch for our team and morale and just banding together. And we ended up having a better year than we had the year before. I mean, we went 5-5 the year before we went 4-6-1 and got in the back door to playoffs and got in. And went 5-5 and didn't get in. And I just, in the off season, I said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to finish everything. And it was Alex Ruiz inspired, because in order for him to do anything, he has to finish everything.
Yep.
Right? In order for him to do anything, he has to finish everything. So that's taking a shower. He can't take a shower regularly.
No. He can do nothing. Nothing's regular.
No, he can't. I mean, we stand on 2 feet and take a shower.
Yep.
He's got to sit down forever until he gets a waterproof prosthetic.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
We put our socks on, you know, 1 foot at a time, go barefoot. We get our toenails clipped.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, finishing everything has a different meaning. So I just kind of put the charge to everybody that we're going to finish everything, and there is no half-stepping in 2018. I'm like, if you're not about finishing everything, then you probably don't want to be around Linfield and be here. We're going to finish everything. And it just, in the off-season, the guys worked a little differently. I mean, it was just a different charge. You know, and Alex was there every step of the way, encouraging guys, going through his thing, and then he announced it to the school. The decision that was going to happen, and people don't show that he had a chapel. He came back and basically told school what he was going to do. You know, he just wanted to get it out of the way, you know, in a chapel service.
See, so that's the part that people don't.
I made a decision to amputate my leg. I made this decision. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't treat me different. Don't open a door for me. I mean, it was don't treat me like I'm handicapped. Don't treat me like I'm special, like I'm different. I'm not. I'll get the elevator. I'll open the door. Don't push my wheelchair up the hill. Like, all of those things. And he charged me with the same thing. Coach, don't treat me different. So how do you slack off when you got that right in your face? There's a reminder, right? I don't feel like running. I'm tired. Well, this dude would love to run. I said run to, you know, Fallbrook and back 6 times. He'd probably do it 12 times at this point, right?
Sure.
All of your faculty's working. You can't run 20 yards. That's not going to work. So they just work differently. The team just worked differently. And there was a mindset of it was all gas, no brakes. You know, we're not taking anything less than everybody's 110% every snap. Every play, every rep, every game. And all that mattered was the game at hand and the task at hand. And it wasn't an afterthought. It was like at the forefront of everybody's mind. This is how we work. And if you felt some type of way about it, there's a constant reminder because Alex is at practice. And he's working, trying to get back, and he's helping, and he's assisting, he's student coaching until we found out the deal. I mean, he was student coaching, player coaching, until we found out what can happen. And then we got the green light to go. It was all systems go. So how do you half step?
That's wild.
You know, so the culmination and the end result, the end game, was the championship. You know, and it was nothing but God. I mean, it was all God. I mean, I couldn't have written a script like that. I couldn't have planned it like that.
No, and it's interesting because I try to get my kids to understand that growing up, that you have to do everything as if it were the last time you'd ever get a chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be able to have my kids meet Alex in real life, because you would think my kids would know, yeah, okay, they lost their mom at an early age. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I think sometimes even when you're in the midst of it and they're so young, it's easy for them to kind of forget the damage and forget the hurt and the pain. You know,
yes, easy.
And I get it that they lost their mother. I get it. But this young man lost his leg. He has a permanent right. example of what it is like to not have done or have done or to finish something, like you said.
Right. You have to finish. I mean, he's got to finish. It was a couple days later. This is what's crazy. A couple days later, okay, he's throwing the football with the therapist.
Wow.
Like, he's standing there on one leg, and he's getting his balance. He's working on throwing the ball, and he's giving the therapist a hard time. Like, he caught out a spiral, and I mean, he's busting the guy up. You know what I mean? He's checking him. And he's competing. Mm. Like, he's competing. He's a grown man out there. He's getting after it. There is no kind of sort of. So that was ever present. You know, every time we turn around, you know, what do you, right? You know, like, what do you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're going to take our last break. But I tell you what, I remember you gave us 1 Corinthians 9:24 off air.
Yes.
And it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only the person who gets the prize. So run to win. So do that.
That's right.
Run this race, run to win. We'll be right back after this last break, and we're going to take this thing home. Talk about history in the making, only a place in history. And this coach, this young man we're talking about, have both earned their place. We'll be right back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
For something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life. And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and this is the last segment of this particular time with Coach Burns. And Coach, you need to know that just that aspiring story that about Alex Reeves and in your coaching style, and how hard would you go if you knew this was your last down, infected me so much that I've been suffering from back spasms the last probably 5 or 6 days. Saturday and today were probably the worst in my entire life, almost as bad as what I had kidney stones about 2 years ago. And the only reason why I even was at church trying to serve today in the midst of pain that was causing me to cry out in pain and have tears coming because it hurt so much was this story about Alex. And was because I didn't want to come off the field. I didn't want to not serve because it hurt, because it was my choice. Alex doesn't have a choice. And so facing the Giants used to be one of my, that one segment, you know, when the coach is called out that the biggest, strongest, most popular guy on the team, and he carried his other player on all fours pretty much, right? I don't even know what the drill is called, but he carried that man 100 yards into the end zone just by giving his best. If that's all the coach is asking for, and that's all you're asking for, and that's all I as a parent, that's all, not just our community, but that's all this world is asking, what all the Lord is asking us to do is give our best.
Coach, how do you continue to, how do you continue to tell yourself, how do you continue to tell your players, other people that listen, the listeners out there, men like yourselves and men who need to become more like yourself? How do you tell them to become history makers, own their place in history, and give their best?
Yes. Well, you know, it's, once again, it goes back to, you know, Eric Thomas and, you know, wanting to breathe. You want to live, right?
Yeah.
You got to want to hurt. Like the difference between knowing and doing is the pain involved. Yeah. Like we talked about off air, I kind of put that challenge to our team. And it's a daily mantra that I live by. There's things I don't want to do, Craig. I mean, there's things, we're human, we're flesh. There's things we don't want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to face some things. I don't want to do some things. I'm human.
Yeah.
I get tired too. But the reality is, and it sounds kind of morbid and crazy, but I can rest when I'm dead.
Yes, sir.
I can rest when I'm dead.
Yeah.
No, I'll rest in heaven with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and my Lord, my Father God. But while I'm on this earth, it's all gas, no brakes. I got to go.
Yeah.
So if you're not on that, you need to reevaluate what your purpose is. What is the thumbprint that you're going to leave? Because we have a starting date and we have an expiration date, right?
Yes, sir.
And on that tombstone, there's a dash. And the last time I checked, everybody's dash is the same size.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's not, you know, I don't care how marvelous the tombstone is. I don't care if it's gold, copper, granite, platinum, 14 karat, the newest stuff. If they flew the gold in from Mars, the dash between those two dates is going to be the same size.
Yes, sir.
So either you compacted everything you could in that dash, or there was nothing in that dash. But the hope and the goal, and I think what God has called us to do, is leave a legacy. And in that legacy, your job is to leave a thumbprint in concrete so deep that acid can't wash it out.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because my I guess I still should be able to call him my father-in-law until I marry him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was a concrete mason, and he actually showed me the fact that concrete, people think concrete is a drying process, but it's not. It's a chemical reactive process.
That's right.
And you actually have to put water on it to activate the process. So when you talk about etching things in concrete, that's a serious analogy you're given, because concrete is a tough, and it actually gets harder over time.
Right. So the imprint, the thumbprint, the impact that you make, my job is to be put my thumbprint so deep and so heavy that acid can't get it out. I don't care what compound you put on this concrete, Burns was here.
Yeah.
The legacy of Burns. It has to be. And in turn, to add to what you're talking about creating history, I think that's where history is made. And I never really thought about creating history. I just thought about, what's the legacy? You know, what will be said? I don't care if I have money, if I don't have money. I don't believe in the amount of dollars making you rich or not. My grandfather's one of the richest men I knew. He had 11 children, and they all graduated and went off to be professional, whatever their own rights are. Mm-hmm. And he had 300 acres of land with a third-grade education, hogs, cattle, soybean, cotton, corn, butter beans, snap beans, chickens, everything you want to name, right? But it's paid for.
Wow.
And every one of my family members has a lot of land, right? My aunts and uncles, and even us as kids, have land that once we want to do something, we can go in and go right down to Utica, Edwards, Mississippi, and get on the Ross the Ross compound and do something. Well, my grandfather had a third grade education. So is he successful by standards of society? Well, he's on third grade education. Was he a millionaire? No, he wasn't a millionaire. But the richest that he has and he left, I mean, you can't put a value on that. And he left a legacy. He left a thumbprint. Well, and all I know is that he went hard. That's all I know. So what is my example? I got Alex Ruiz on a daily. He comes to school, and if he wants to run, he has to take off his walking prosthetic and put on his blade. Right?
Yeah.
He was 16 when he got hurt. He hadn't had his car. He hadn't had his license long. So he learned how to drive with his left foot.
Wow.
Because he only had 1 foot.
Wow.
So I don't understand how you don't finish. I don't understand what chemical in your brain is telling you not to finish when you're able to, because there's others that cannot.
What's the enemy, right? What's the enemy, right? Because the enemy, he prowls around like a lion. He's not a lion. And in the scriptures, clear, he's not a lion.
Searching
for
somebody to devour.
Oh, my gosh. And that's
the, right. So he's looking constantly. So if you say, and we all have our moments of weakness, right? I mean, we're all broken. I mean, it hurts.
Sure.
I mean, my prayers and condolences and friendship go out to you, because I can't imagine that pain. And we're at a service for the head of our school today who passed away, Drake Charles. And I witnessed a pillar of strength in his wife, Betsy, who stood before, I don't know, 1,000 people or some odd, if not a few more, and gave one of the most amazing eulogies and respects and remembrance and celebrations to her husband as she watched deteriorate from ALS within 2 years.
Wow.
This guy was 6'5", 250 pounds. Wow. And I'm willing to say that he may have passed away at 100 and something. I mean, maybe less than 150. I don't know. I don't know the exact weight that he passed with. But I know for a fact he was not 250. He was not even 100-something pounds, right? She sat before friends and family and supporters and gave one of the strongest things. So in her weakness, God was present and strong. She then turned and called to Alex, because at the same time, while her husband and her are going through this, Alex was in the hospital, and they went and visited him, and he asked some tough questions.
Mm.
And Alex has a lot of fire and stuff in his neck. You know, the dude's a competitor. And he caught him to the carpet on some things, and they fired back and gave him the peace and serenity of God's love and grace. So I couldn't imagine losing my spouse. And for you to wake up every day, what? Just two choices. Crumble up and die or keep living.
Yes, sir.
So yes, sir. I get up in the morning, okay, my leg might hurt. I went a little hard yesterday. Be grateful that I have a leg that hurts. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, recover better. You know, get some ice on it. Stop complaining. Walk the limp out. You know, grow up. You know, do you want to know? You're complaining about how bad your foot hurts. How about you don't have a foot to hurt?
And the sad part with Alex, he actually ended up having ghost pains for a leg that ain't even there no more.
Yes, because those are the ghost growth pains. Right. Now, take that story, flip it around, and guess, check this out. Yesterday, the baseball team played their first baseball game. Alex threw an inning, 2 to 4 batters.
Wow.
Struck out 2, 1 grounded out, and then 1 popped out or something like that.
See.
So he's throwing on the mound with the prosthetic.
And he is right-handed, correct?
Yes.
And he lost Alex's right leg, correct?
Yes, Alex. Yes, he's right. So that means you have to push off that right.
Yeah, I used to be a pitcher. That was my thing.
Yes. Well, Alex was throwing on the mound. I have a picture of it. I can send it to you.
Please.
Alex was throwing on the mound in a baseball game, and his goal was to get back. Obviously, for football season. Let's how faithful God is. The goal was for him to try to get back football season. He gets back and he plays senior night. And he plays a game after senior night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, miraculous.
Yeah.
Then he was like, I want to be able to play baseball. So he worked his behind off. I mean, you see his determination in the video where he talks about he was going to do everything he needed to do to get back on the field, right? There's that. You got to be willing to hurt more than you want to walk.
Yeah.
Because he said he was going to do anything to get back on the field. Well, guess what? He said, I want to do the same thing for baseball. This joker he's throwing pitches. He's playing baseball. He's on the baseball team. He's in the rotation. He's a pitcher.
He has
one leg.
That's like
12, 13, September. So you're looking at 16 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? A year and 4 months, year and 6 months.
That's greater than Abbott. When Abbott used to throw with only one arm, he used to throw and then put the glove back on the stump. But still, this young man doesn't have a leg. So you're talking about trying. So the people, let's give everybody a perspective. He's trying to push off on the nub into the prosthetic off of his damaged leg, so that he doesn't have that calf push to give you that last takeoff on that pitch. Now, right. we're gonna have to call this as a part one of this. We're gonna come back because, Coach, you and I definitely have some work to do together. I've committed before to support whatever you're doing in any way and capacity I can. I've got some kids that need to meet Alex. They need to see that living example of a young man in their life close to their age. Because I've got a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12, and a 10. They need to see this history before their eyes. They need to meet you. Because as their dad, there's only so much history I can give them. And our relationship is changing and evolving before my eyes historically. And I can't get them to where they need to be by myself. I need people like yourself. And that's another one of the motivations for this particular month worth of speakers to become history makers. I need my kids to know that they're history makers. I need them to be introduced to other history makers. I need them, not that they don't see them in other places, but I need to put some focused effort and own my place in the history of their lives by introducing them personally to some history makers. So those of you out there listening and to the Raising Men show today, and I always do that again. I give the wrong show the wrong time, but it's all right. It's all the same. You need to make sure that you know that you're a history maker every day and you cannot stop. You got to want to breathe. You got to want to hurt more than you want to walk and want to do anything. Join us every Tuesday right here on WKBY 1080 AM and on the RaisingMenShow.com for any of our archives. And we're definitely going to be publishing how to get a hold of Coach Burns and his program. See you next week.
It's been a long time.
Preach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in, and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.